was not interested in God whatsoever. So whenever there was anything spiritual coming up in the presentation, the person would just take a psychology book, that was helping with CBT or whatever else, and they were just starting to read the book. And they just had it right up here, and started reading. When we're done with the songs, put them down. And when, the spiritual talk was done, put it down. Otherwise, it was just in his book. Really disinterested in what we had to offer in a more integrated, holistic way. Anyway, very affluent person, grew up in the UK, and was a very sought-after consultant, just helping people with the natural resources that a country would have and making strategic, suggestions of what would help them best economically. At any rate, he was there, and Don and I were really praying for people to have a breakthrough. And as we were praying, we were thinking of different songs that would be relatable. And this is the wildest thing ever. It was in the middle of April or May, and we decided to sing Christmas songs. Now, some of you love Christmas songs, and you would like to sing them every day as well, but others are like, no, we reserve this for after Thanksgiving, for this 1 month, and then it's over. So, at any rate, it was kind of out there, but we decided to sing some Christmas songs. And boy, would you believe it? People that are not going to church, Christmas songs are fairly known. Oh, come, O ye faithful, joy to the world. They kind of knew the songs. And then we sang this song that, what is it called? It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Not as often sung. Long story short, we're starting to sing. This person drops their book that they were reading and is asking for a hymnal for the first time, frantically looking for one, finds a hymnal, is reading along with the lyrics. And you can tell that this person is really touched by this song. They are getting emotional. And they can't put this hymnal down. After the session was over, I need to talk to you. Okay, I will need to talk to you. Come to find out that that very song was a song that he had heard when he was a kid and went to a church as a 5 or 6 year old. Had not heard it since. And he said, I would give so much today to feel the same way I felt back then. And that was the opening conversation to work through some things that have piled up over the years. Just a song. So beautiful. Singing is a very powerful witness. It's a witness, but it's also a great tool against discouragement. We so easily get discouraged. But singing, and maybe it's you singing, maybe it's somebody else singing, maybe it's singing together as we have been doing, that can really encourage you. The music you listen to, without over-preaching here, the music you listen to actually does affect you in various ways. I was talking with Dr. Wusuk about this when it comes to the law of entrainment. Whatever we're exposed to, the heartbeat wants to match. And so if we're constantly listening to things that are much faster than a heartbeat, that's good for a while if you're exercising, get your heart rate up. But if that is continuous, it causes a stressor to the heart because it can't keep up. Likewise also, I'm talking, an example of that is techno music, right? It's just very fast. The heart can't keep up. But also esoteric music, which is so slow and might feel, nice at first. But then the heart is saying, where's my beat? Kind of find it. So hymns, as predictable as they might be, actually are very helpful in singing because they have a meter that is very close to the heartbeat. And so finding music that people can sing that are both, more chronologically advanced, but also, the younger generation, you need to find music that actually, is relatable. So I'm glad that we have found songs that we are able to sing here and we're able to sing in this entire camp. Music. In fact, they showed studies that even if your bed is on a side where the noise from the outside of your house impacts you more, that it, decreases your quality of sleep, just where you have your bed, because it impacts you so much. Anyway, this morning, we're going to talk about a few things. And this might be a good moment that if you don't want to have a conversation with the person next to you, maybe switch your seat, because we're going to be having some conversations in here together. If you're sitting next to your spouse, well, that's that. You'll be stuck there now, and that's not a bad thing. Question: what does the world need more today? What does our current culture lack? how would you say? Is it faith? Is it hope? Is it love? Is it peace? Is it joy? What would you choose? Maybe turn to the person next to you. If you have three or four people, that's fine too. Form a little group and just share what you would choose and why you would choose that particular word or that particular topic that you think that the world needs more of today. If you're seated by yourself, you might have to get up, or somebody else might have to come to you to have that. Share with each other what you would choose. I'd come to you, but then you'll be on record because I have the mic on.
Okay. I might not even host this one.
Okay, yeah, because it's going to be correct. Yeah. Although, I'll leave it on, and you can use the later part when I get into another presentation.
Yep.
You will see. All right. There'll be more questions. You'll have to master the art of brevity this morning, of saying it as succinctly as possible and get as many people to talk in your group. We'll continue. It's interesting, right? Like, what is it that you might find, or the person you were talking to, and what maybe your neighbor or your community feels like they need as well? Now, when it comes to these different topics, I will think of some of the things we have been discussing even this week. And this question came to mind: which is more difficult? Trusting God before seeing, talked about that with faith. Waiting on God when you know He has said something, it is true, and you want to claim His promises. Waiting on God. Or loving difficult people. Difficult as in people that process things differently than you do. People that might not naturally, you know, come to the same conclusion or the way that they get there. Which is more difficult? I'll give you a minute. Okay. It seemed like some of you were itemizing each of them. You're like, this is when this one is difficult. This one is difficult. They're all difficult. They're all hard. Let's do an easier one. How do you know someone loves you? How do you know that someone loves you? How would you describe that? What expresses that for you? Now, these are just little vignettes. Again, little profilers. For those of you who have joined us, we are doing a very active session here. By the way, what's the oldest school in Adventism? Do you know? The oldest school. It's the Sabbath school. So you're experiencing, you know, oldest school and, you know, in some novel ways. Not so novel, but discussion is important. Having, you know, things that you're sharing with your partner or in the group that you're in right now. Now, you might have heard of the five languages of love. How many of you have heard of the five languages of love? By the way, there's an app. I'm not sure if you knew that. But in case you are struggling with expressing your love to your partner or your children or, you know, inappropriate ways in the community and so forth, they have an app now. Did you know that? It's called the Love Nudge. So you take the assessment, your partner takes the assessment, and then it shows you and it reminds you of the things that are meaningful to your spouse. It even reminds you of your wedding anniversary if you need to. And it gives you ways in which you can express love. If you need some creativity, that can help you with different things in the various aspects. Now, when you think of God's love for you, what expression of God's love is most meaningful to you? We looked at some this week, but as you think of Scripture, as you think of God's love, what expression of God's love is most meaningful to you? Share with the person that is next to you. You can switch it around as well if you want. You can do it in a small group. Spend some time just sharing what expression of God's love is most meaningful to you. We'll segue into the next question. What is harder? Forgiving others in the board meeting? I'm learning so much about board meetings from y'all. Wow. Forgiving yourself for eating more rice than quinoa, maybe? Or believing others have forgiven you? Believing that God has forgiven you for skipping some of the devotionals this week? No, honestly. What is harder? When it comes to forgiveness, it's often very personal, right? Because either you're thinking of something that you wanted to apologize for and may have gotten a chance to. Sometimes you're thinking of apologizing, but you might not have gotten a chance to. Or somebody else apologized to you. Sometimes it lands well. Sometimes you might feel it was disingenuous. I remember my sister, she's an elementary school teacher. She was kind of navigating a fight of two students. And finally, they were coming close to a resolution. One was supposed to apologize to the other. They apologized. And then when they apologized, the other person said, "This wasn't true. It wasn't real. You didn't mean it." And then my sister asked the student, said, "What makes you say that it wasn't real? They didn't look me in the eye when they said it." For them, this is what it was. It just got me thinking. Of course, there are cultural elements of apology, but there are also different ways in which we might find that an apology is more true or more sincere. Isn't that true? And so I'm not sure if you know of this book, and I'm not necessarily promoting everything that Gary Chapman has done, but he has another book on the 5 languages of apology. Have you heard of those? Very, very helpful. Part of what I've been trying to do this week is just give different, you know, vignettes or different profiles or ideas of things that we otherwise only go with the same route and maybe think of an alternative path of how you can have, you know, a good outcome. Check this out. Expressing regret. For some people, saying "I'm sorry" is all they need. It's all they need to say. It's all they need to hear. For others, that's cheap. "I'm sorry, that's it? No. That's not going to happen. That's not going to cut it for me." Somebody else, you need to accept responsibility. You need to admit verbally and articulate you were wrong. And you need to send the email to the whole company. Or making restitution, right? Saying, how can I make this right? What must I do? Or genuinely repenting of saying, I'll try not to do this again. Or requesting, will you forgive me? I'll be honest with you, when I first read some of these, I realized that I might have a go-to of what I like to do, that I think this is sincere for me. And sometimes, I was thinking, how do I approach it when somebody wrongs me or offends me? What do I expect from them? When does it? Take a moment just of reflection and maybe share, if you're willing to, with somebody else, not necessarily on these, I'm going to ask you a question about it, but just looking at these, perhaps there are some moments that come to your mind where you have experienced something that landed well, that was reconciling, that was really beautiful, or something that left you feeling it was still unresolved. Perhaps you can take a moment in your groups or in, however you are dispersed right now, and describe the best apology you've ever received. Why did it work? It might take a moment. That's okay. Now, some of you, might be wondering, where are we going with this? Lots of questions. Don't you find that when love is not communicated, and when forgiveness isn't practiced, that something else might fill that vacuum? If you look at scripture, and I think as you also look at just life, what often seems to fill the gap might be anger. I'll tell you how I got there. Anger. Is it good or bad? How many of you would agree that anger is a rather powerful emotion? Anger can last from a few seconds to a lifetime. Anger is mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible in concepts related to anger. The only emotion mentioned in the Bible more than anger is love. So chances are that when you're not experiencing love, you might be experiencing anger. Now, I'm not asking you to share this with your partner, but just think of it. For some people, there are specific people that can trigger your anger faster than anyone else. They just know how to push the right buttons, as we say. Anger, it's an expression to a person, a situation, an event in the past or the future, to a real or perceived injustice or hurt, and have to do with frustration, betrayal, deprivation, injustice, violence, disapproval, humiliation. Sometimes to trauma or enraging events when a boundary in life has been crossed. This is what Marcus Aurelius said. How much more grievous are the consequences of anger than the causes of it? Just a brief reflection. Think of what anger usually costs you. When you deal with anger, what does it typically cost you? For some, it's money. For some, it's time. Some, it's relationships. For some, it's health. So how do we deal with anger? Here's some examples. Let's see if you resonate with some of them. Some internalize anger. They hold it in. They repress it. Sometimes they even deny the presence of anger. They turn the emotion inward. Anger turned inward often leads to depression, anxiety, hypertension, ulcers. Some people suppress it. They acknowledge it, but they stuff it. They neglect the root cause. They might become cynical, passive-aggressive. They have indirect forms of revenge. They are manifested in sarcasm, lack of cooperation, gossip. Some like to vent. That's all they need. They just need to let it out. But there's different ways to let it out. Some have a healthy and constructive way, just like steam, you know. Healthy and constructive way to express it. For some, not so healthy. They just want to let you know, this is where I'm coming from. It's boiling over. Men are like steel. When they lose their temper, they lose their worth. Their physical symptoms, their emotional symptoms. Now, there are different levels of anger. You might be irritated, have a feeling of discomfort, irritated. There might be indignation. You feel that something must be answered, something must be correct, something must be done about it. In spiritual language, we call it righteous indignation. Have you heard that before? This is justified anger. There might be wrath, strong desire for revenge. Fury, where you partially lose emotional control. You're furious. Rage. Loss of control involving aggression or an act of violence. In America, we refer to road rage even. Or hostility. A persistent form of anger, enmity toward others that becomes rooted in one's personality. You are actually known for being angry. It affects so much of your life and how others view you. Now, this is easier said than done, but having these different levels of anger, be nice to be able to just dial it down a bit. It's like a hot burning plate where I say, okay, give less energy to this. Less energy to this. This is very helpful. By the way, I've seen this work for some people, especially when it comes to marriage. When one person really wants to talk about something, but the other person doesn't really want to talk about something, and you don't have the time to talk about it, but it's really, really